I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thank you. This is Johnny Rabbit at your service in KMOX. A 36-page article in the November 1965 issue of National Geographic magazine told about St. Louis from the perspective of an out-of-towner who presented a very glossy view of our town. Pure PR puffery, glowing terms, of course. And the piece started out this way. We drove west from the river through the choke streets of downtown St. Louis, making slow headway. Slower even than the ponderous barges creeping upstream against the Mississippi strong current. Soon after we crossed busy 12th Boulevard, the scene suddenly changed. Before us lay a wasteland, a vast expanse of desolation, block after block of rubble in the heart of the metropolis. His driver, a newspaper friend, stopped his car, waved out the window, pleased at the destruction, and he said, "We're taking St. Louis apart and putting it together again," surveying the debris. "This," he added, "is a great improvement over what used to be right here." The writer continued, "They'd found themselves in a great swath of cleared land, treeless and bleak, tumbleweeds bounded across it, worried by the wind. They were in Mill Creek Valley." His companion went on to say, "This was our worst slum. It had the city's highest crime rate, the highest incidence of disease. Two-thirds of its buildings lacked running water. When we demolished it starting in 1959, we fought rats every inch of the way." He said today, this was 57 years ago, "Mill Creek Valley is the largest urban renewal project of its kind in the country. 454 acres. Come back in a few years and you'll see a near miracle." Nowhere in this non-objective fantasy did they talk about the long and rich history of Mill Creek, about the thousands of people who called it home. They didn't tell about the families who were basically evicted with no voice in their futures, no guidance, little notice, barely any financial help. The concept was that of a scorched earth policy with little more than a handful of buildings saved. Granted, many structures were old and not in the best of shape. Many others were worth saving. The people were worth saving. Just as much of the extensive neighborhood itself didn't need to be wiped out, which it was. In the name of progress, there were hundreds of businesses, dozens of churches, several theaters. There were schools done away with, a firehouse, a police station, all in the name of urban renewal. That included a highway. But the human element was not even an afterthought. Families, friends, a community almost exclusively African-American were torn apart, displaced, and left in so many cases with very few choices of where to go, where to live, all in the name of urban renewal. And then they were forgotten. Forgotten, that is, until the release of a touching and endearing memoir by Vivian Gibson, who lived for years on Bernard Street with her family in that now erased neighborhood. You probably have noticed the Bernard exit on I-6440 east of Grand. Easy to see that nobody's living there anymore. Vivian's book about growing up so close and yet so out of sight in the days of segregation is worthy reading for every St. Louisan. It's called The Last Children of Mill Creek. And to tell us more about what is in the book, what does it reveal? Vivian Gibson herself is right here in the KMOX studio live with me right now to share some of the way it was. Well, Vivian, were you expecting that people would take to the book the way that they have?
I was surprised. I wrote this book really thinking I was writing a book for my family. Mm-hmm. A publisher noticed it, and long story short, a publication agreement was reached, and the book was just... I don't even know how to explain it. It's almost 3 years now. I've been talking about this book constantly for the last 3 years, and we're in our second printing, headed for our third printing, and people are just fascinated by the book, and it's a wonderful surprise for me.
Oh, it's a great surprise. It's a great book, and just like Valerie Shrampan, who was here, you know, said she has... didn't get the book yet, but she has read the book. A friend loaned her the book, and she wants to get it. And that's it with everybody I show this book to. They start reading it, and it's not some 700-page book, and it doesn't cost $50 to buy. It's a reasonable price. What is the price I see in the back here? $16.95, mm-hmm. 158 pages, I believe. But it is packed with this great life, with these great memories that you lived.
Yes.
You were there. Well, where was there? I mean, there are people who say, what the heck's Mill Creek Valley?
That's
what
always,
is that?
Sorry, I stepped on you.
That's okay.
That's always the first question. Where is it? Where was it? Because there's nothing there anymore.
Yeah.
Where's there? It's basically the redevelopment portion, or the urban renewal portion, was from Grand going east to 20th Street, which is just about Union Station. Mm-hmm. The railroad tracks on the south. And I guess Olive Street on the north. Some people said it went as far as Washington. Some people said it went on the other side of the railroad tracks to Choteau. But it was along a creek that doesn't exist anymore either, which is what the name comes from, Mill Creek.
Sure.
Which was the heart of the city, and the city grew up around that creek. And so there's nothing there. Only four buildings were not demolished. Berea Church, which is still hard to see because it sits back from a really big parking lot.
On Olive.
Mm-hmm. Vashon High School, which is now a part of Harristow State University. There was a laundry that has a very beautiful architectural feature. Maybe that's why it was, say, Dinkin or something like that. And then a flower factory. I don't even understand why those two even were saved, except somebody knew somebody, I guess.
Yeah, that facade of that one company that you mentioned on Olive Street.
Yeah.
The reason it got, that wasn't the original facade of the building.
Oh.
Olive Street was widened,
mm-hmm.
and it took away the front of the building, and the city said, well, since we're taking part of your building away, we will redesign it the way you want it.
Isn't
so whoever owned it, put in that. It's a beautiful
facade. So it got facade. To stay and
it got
to
stay.
Be redesigned.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Four buildings out of
Four
how many?
Buildings.
How many buildings
Something
would you
like
say?
Something like 8,000 buildings?
Oh, my gosh.
20,000 people,
oh.
of which I was one.
Yeah. You were there.
Yeah.
You were there with your family. And,
I was there.
Is the exhibition and your family, the Ross family, still at the History Museum?
It's still at the History Museum. It was supposed to be a permanent exhibit, and permanent is 5 years at a museum.
Oh.
They've renewed it four times. It's been there. It's very popular. And it's called the Ross Family Exhibit on the second floor. And it... is interactive. So you get to hear stories from all of my siblings about what it was like to be a child in Mill Creek. So I've been talking about Mill Creek for a long time before this book even.
Well, I bet you have, because and people started to listen.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
A little late, but nonetheless.
Yeah, can't do much about it except know the history. Hopefully
right.
we won't repeat it.
Oh, wouldn't that be terrible?
Yes.
And I was just doing last week, I had mentioned earlier, I did a bus tour, a ghost tour of St. Louis
mm-hmm.
for the Missouri Historical Society. And we were talking about, I was explaining about Mill Creek and mm-hmm. about the Kosciusko and the LaSalle developments and how these things are just, they just mm-hmm. tore them down. Just got this.
Yeah, but they were much smaller than Mill Creek.
Oh, yeah. Mill Creek was big.
Yeah, 20,000. That's a lot of people to displace. And there was a lot of talk about how bad it was and that it was a slum. The interesting aspect of that is that in 1947, when the city wanted to pass a bond issue to tear it down, it failed because of redlining and restrictive covenants, there were a lot of places that black people could live. And mostly white St. Louisans rejected that bond issue. Between 47 and 54, when it did finally pass, they built Pruitt-Igoe housing projects and set out on a real campaign to just convince people that this was a slum that deserved to go, with little respect or regard for the people who were living there. The rats they talk about, the lack of indoor plumbing, first of all, is the rats not exaggerated, but the indoor plumbing was, because two-thirds is just not true. That, that didn't happen, but that was part of the whole propaganda to make people feel like, yes, it has to go. And regarding the rats, the services weren't there. I mean, the garbage wasn't picked up. Many people had to burn their garbage because there was no regular. So, and another big surprise is that more than 80% of those homes, those dwellings, were owned by white people.
They were renters. They weren't the owners. Renters.
Those were poor people for the most part. There were very, because of restrictive covenants, there it was a mixed neighborhood in terms of poor people, working poor, and well-to-do black people. So there were some sections that were very, very nice, and others that were, people were struggling, and then others were just tenements that were owned and people rented and they weren't kept up. And so there's enough fault to go around for why it was a slum, and no one talks about how it became a slum.
And the newspapers were promoting progress or decay.
Right.
That was, those are the big, both the, started in the Post and the Globe Democrat picked up on that.
Yeah.
And I was reading also in that article in National Geographic, they went on to talk about the wonders of Gaslight Square and all of the beautiful architectural elements.
That came
which
out
they
of
said,
Mill
right,
Creek.
Exactly.
Came out
put
of
it
those
on there from Mill
churches.
Creek Valley. Yeah.
You talked about the churches. There were 42 churches, and this was one of the older parts of the city. So a lot of those churches were former white congregations. And so they were beautiful churches with chandeliers and organs and just wonderful stained glass windows that went right to those antique shops on Gaslight Square and on Euclid that they took out. As people moved out, people came in and took all those beautiful features.
They used to clean the pews at a church, I understand.
Well, yeah, my father was the janitor of a church that we attended. He was also the choir director of the church. He was also, he also worked for St. Louis Public Service, which was the predecessor to Bi-State and Metro.
Yeah.
So he, that was his only job. I found him in the 1940 census, and he was already working there, and he died while he was still working there. That was his only job, except for all these part-time jobs, because he had eight children.
Oh, so he had three jobs. Vivian, we'll be back in just a moment. Vivian Gibson, she's written the book, The Last Children of Mill Creek. Now, there is a book I really totally recommend. If somebody wants to get a book about St. Louis, that's the book to get. We'll talk more with Vivian here. This is Johnny Rabbit at your service on KMOX. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service talking with Vivian Gibson, her book, The Last Children of Mill Creek. And we've been talking about that mysterious place where a lot of people call Mill Creek. And one of the big things that we've got to get rid of Mill Creek is we've got to have this highway go through somewhere. And that was maybe the easiest place for them that they could get by and tear down all of those places for Highway 40, now I-6440. Was that the main reason for all of that?
Well, that was the main reason given, but you can imagine, and even now, that highway is about a half mile wide along the southern strip, but they tore out 464 acres, six or seven or eight blocks even north of there. And so they could have probably put in the highway and tore down maybe a quarter of the houses that they did. And so, but that was the main reason that they were building a highway, and white people took that highway west, and the city died.
Yeah. I got out of the city, got out of town. We're headed west. Yeah, right. Now, a few weeks ago, Vivian Gibson was a participant in a presentation we did at the Missouri History Museum called Midtown to Mill Creek, and people really are still raving about your part of the program. And just a week ago, you were a part of St. Louis TEDx.
TEDx.
Event. Or what is TEDx?
Well, it's a series of speakers who and leaders who speak on one good idea. It's a wonderful experience. TED, as you probably all know, stands for technology, entertainment, and something else.
Something else. I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Something else with a D. But it's development or something like that. I'm sorry, I should have written that down. But it's a great opportunity for individuals to speak, and it's usually on YouTube and on the TED Network, and TED is a huge national company that started, 30 years ago with very prominent speakers.
Wow.
But now they have local, and that's what the X stands for, the local events. And so it was great. And I got a chance to talk about, and my idea was the power of storytelling to change our lives. And I talked about telling stories about Mill Creek and how this book has really gotten people to better understand what happened during that time to those people and the fact that we were simply erased.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That was very true. Now, where was the talk held?
It was at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center last Saturday night, and I had my first grocery store sighting yesterday. Someone said, "Did you do a TED Talk last week? It was great." So that was pretty fun.
Oh, that's terrific. Has that been recorded? Can people see that?
It will be recorded, and you can see it on TED.com.
TED.com.
Yeah, so
all
it was
right.
Just done. It'll be probably another month before it's up, but they're very popular.
Now, here, if you want to replay what we have just done, you can do it on our podcast, KMOX.com. What is that, /podcast or some such thing? We'll find out from our producer.
Yeah, no, there's a separate podcast section on KMOX.com. You'll go to the podcast section and then find At Your Service, and It should be up there both hours of the show today.
Good.
Well, that's something if people want to torture themselves more. If they didn't have enough, they've got to hear it again. Please do so. I think I'll listen to it myself to see what it sounds like.
I will, too.
Well, we've talked a lot about the past, but what about the future? Are you going to do another book? Or?
Well, that's the big question. And my publisher, especially after this TED Talk call, emailed me right after and said, okay, we have to get started on this next book.
Oh.
So people are very interested in my life because at the end of this book, I'm only 27 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of interest in that. But I'm also a pretty avid cook, and I do a lot of posting about food and cooking on Facebook and Instagram. And so we're thinking about the next one being a combination of essays about my life after Mill Creek and how cooking was involved in it. So it might be an essay at a certain period in my life, and maybe I'll talk about what I was cooking at that point or my food experience then. So we're not sure.
What did you used to keep in the back of the stove? Always in a can back there. What was it?
Bacon grease. And I actually still keep it. It's not in a can. It's in a nice container, and I put it in the refrigerator now, but it never was in the refrigerator before. But no, that was like the poor person's butter.
Yeah, right. And you could use that for a lot of things.
A lot of things. It has a lot of flavor in it.
Now, what do you cook today? What do you have, a specialty or a type of food?
Oh, no. I cook all kinds of foods. I posted to just this week chicken sog, an Indian curry, and people were very, very curious about that. And this morning I posted eggplant parmesan because I was at the Indian grocery store and they had these beautiful little eggplants. So I bought some kind of in impulse, and so this morning I got up and made eggplant parmesan.
Do you leave the skin on or take it off?
Well, when these were tiny ones, very tender.
Yeah.
But even the large ones, I kind of do a stripe and I leave a little bit of the skin on because there's some interesting flavor and texture that comes from
that's,
the
that's
skin.
That's true. Guess who's out of time?
Us?
Us, we are. It's a shame, too.
It is a shame.
So nice of you to be here.
Thank you. I hope people will buy this nice gift for Christmas. This is a great Christmas gift.
I do, too. It's The Last Children of Mill Creek. I hope you'll come back again, Vivian.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Thank you. Vivian Gibson is our guest. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're going to Washington, D.C. or nearby for a visit with CBS White House correspondent of the past, Peter Mayer. He's going to be here in minutes on At Your Service. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service, and I've got a guy right here on the telephone with us. He couldn't make it in because he doesn't live right around the corner. That's Peter Mayer. Hello, Peter.
Hey, it's great to be with you, my friend, because you are the voice of St. Louis.
You're very kind. It's very nice of you. Give me your home address. I'll send you the money. Don't worry. I'm sure many, maybe all, of our KMOX listeners may wonder, whatever happened to CBS Radio's White House correspondent Peter Mayer, who was heard in CBS Network newscast and before then on NBC and Mutual? How many years in CBS?
Close to 20.
Mm-hmm. And before that, the other networks? So a total
23. Oh, 23 with the other networks before they went off into radio heaven.
Peter is from Granite City, but he's not there anymore. You live near the nation's capital.
Right. But, you know, my heart is always in Granite, and I have to say hello to everybody in Granite City and those who live there now and those who have lived there.
Yes. Peter has won, gosh, who knows how many awards, including the 2019 Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Award. And he's here to talk about a number of things that he's doing, including, when you told me this, I was very surprised, kayaking somewhere on a river?
Right, yeah, you know, that was fun. Just last week, I went kayaking on the Potomac River in Charles County, Maryland, Johnny, a place called Mallows Bay, M-A-L-L-O-W-S Bay, in Charles County, Maryland, very historic area. The weather was cold. I, for some reason, hit it on the coldest day so far this year. It was 39 degrees when we ventured out. The water was choppy, but wow, what an experience. Mallows Bay on the Potomac is a national marine sanctuary and the watery home of what is known as the Ghost Fleet. More than a very strange chapter in history, Johnny. More than 100 World War I era wooden steamships were scuttled there after World War I. The war ended. Many of these ships could not have been put into service before the war ended. Some did find some other ports of call, but they were coal-fired.
Oh my.
And they were quickly outdated at that point in history. And over the years, they'd bring these boats to this bay off the Potomac and just scuttle them there, and they burn them down to the water line. And much of the remaining metal was salvaged from the 1920s all the way through the 40s. I know you love history.
That's quite a history. That is.
Yeah, and now the neat thing is these old shipwrecks have become amazing marine habitats. And I looked into the water and saw an abundance of fish. There was evidence of beavers. And for me, the best part was seeing bald eagles flying around over in the towering trees. I have to tell you, though, it was just kind of eerie to float over the ghost ships of Mallows Bay.
It would be. How many ships did you say?
Well, they said that there were over 100 ships that were scuttled there, dumped. And some of them, you know, you can see the outlines of the ships, but it's all greenery. It's trees and plants and, you know, all kinds of just different types of wildlife that now make their homes in this amazing place not too far from Washington, D.C.
Now, where are there a lot of people doing this kayaking?
Well, there were only two others in the group that I was with that day. Again, it was just kind of cold and kind of rough, but it was just quite an experience. I hope to do it again sometime.
You didn't fall in the water, I hope.
Oh no, I did not. The guides gave us quite a scary safety briefing. Of course, we were outfitted from waist to neck with life jackets, but we made it through high and dry.
But I saw a photograph that included you and several people from CBS Radio, a person that we heard many, many times, as we have heard you many countless times on KMOX, Bill Plant, who passed away.
Now, yeah.
Was that for a memorial for Bill?
Yes, it was what his family called a funeral mass and reflections. Yeah. And it was quite moving. Bill and I were very close friends, and I think most people, remember Bill for being an anchor on the weekend news on CBS on TV and a well-known voice on radio. I know he was on KMOX many times over the years. And Bill died at the age of 84 last month. And we gathered, we being his family and close friends, for something of a reunion at Holy Trinity Church in Georgetown. Quite a historic church, by the way. It's where John F. Kennedy was a parishioner, and Bill worshiped there for many years. And in his homily, the Reverend Gregory Shendon really talked for many of us, Johnny. He remembered Bill as a voice of justice, truth, and integrity. This was a man who, you know, to me, was a living history book. He was at Selma for the famous march over the Edmund Pettus Bridge and did a famous interview that was played over and over again in Bill's on-the-air obituary with Martin Luther King. And he covered the Vietnam War, and then Bill and I traveled the world together covering presidents from when did Bill come to the White House? From Bill Clinton to Barack Obama. He was at the State Department before that. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, just quite a remembrance and just a very warm tribute to Bill.
Who were some of the CBS people that were there?
Oh, my gosh. Now you're going to turn me into something of a proud name dropper. Leslie Stahl was there, my friend Bob Schieffer.
Oh, yeah.
These were people who sat in the White House booth with Bill, the current anchor and managing editor of the CBS Evening News. My friend Nora O'Donnell was there. Nancy Cordes, who covers the White House for CBS now. Stephen Portnoy, who succeeded me on the White House beat for CBS News Radio. And Jim Axelrod, another good friend who... you know, we were all, I call us all, students of Bill. Bill Plant was our mentor and just a beloved friend.
Now, Peter Mayer is who we're speaking with on KMOX, of his home away from home in St. Louis. Bill Plant, now what happens to the person who has had this background? He must have collected a lot of materials or articles or recordings of his work. Do you know what would happen to something like that? Did he donate these to anyone?
Well, Bill's alma mater was Loyola in Chicago, and there is a chair. I wish I had the exact title of it, but it's really a wonderful professorial chair that Bill dedicated to. And so I would imagine that a lot of things went to Loyola. Bill never wrote a book. He just, when I asked him about it, I went to visit him a number of times at his home. Just over the years since he retired. He was just a very modest guy. But one of the things I envied about Bill was he kept every single script that he used over the years, and he had them filed.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
what a treasure.
You know, yes, it is a treasure. And I'll have to, you know, check with his wife, Robin, and find out what will be the ultimate destination for Bill's scripts. And I'll tell you another thing about Bill is that no one, and it was mentioned at his reflection service, no one ever knew where Bill stood on politics.
Interesting.
And yeah, and I hope that, you know, the same could be said for me while I was working, and just for anyone who's, you know, on the air and in being a, you know, straight, hopefully as objective as one can be, reporter. But yeah, Bill never talked politics, and I never talked politics with him or anyone else, and he certainly did not. The former president of CBS News, a wonderful person, Susan Zirinsky, spoke at the service, and she recalled his lifetime of courageous acts, including that civil rights coverage. And Susan said, you know, that Bill was just totally shocked at the raw hatred that he witnessed at the Selma March and other moments in the South. And, you know, as I told you the other day, Johnny, they mentioned that before Bill became a network correspondent, he grew up in Chicago, in the Rogers Park neighborhood of Chicago. He had never ventured farther than St. Louis in his travels. Mm-hmm. And here was a guy who later traveled the nation and the world.
Sure. Interesting. Can you hold on for just a couple of minutes? We have some announcements to make. We'll be right back with Peter Mayer here on KMOX. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service. Johnny Rabbit, Ratchet Service, and with us is Peter Mayer on the phone from way back east. When are you coming to St. Louis again, Peter?
Well, I hope to be there sometime before the end of the year. Good. We haven't quite firmed up travel plans yet, but you know I'll be calling you and Mrs. Rabbit when I come to town, that's for sure. Right. I treasure my friendship with you.
Well, thank you. We feel the same way. And, you know, we were talking about Bill Plant's archives. What about yours? Do you plan to do anything with your collection of materials?
Well, you know what? I took a lot of it to SIU Edwardsville, my alma mater. And they have a number of my passes and scripts and other memorabilia. And I just hope that, in all modesty, that it will, you know, inspire some of the mass comm students, journalism students, economics majors, and others at that fine school to know that, you know, the sky's the limit.
Isn't that the truth? It is the limit. That's all. I mean, you just have to go ahead and do it. Now, you're doing something that I didn't think you were going to do anymore. You're going to be back on the radio.
Well, yeah, you know, Craig Swagler, the VP for CBS News Radio, called me a couple of weeks ago and invited me to be what they call a CBS News contributor for election night coverage, midterm election night coverage. So I'll be, you know, brewing a pot of very strong tea and fastening my seatbelt like everyone else to see how things turn out on election night. 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time will be, you know, on the job.
Wow, that's quite a shift. Now, you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay home, can't you?
Well, that's right. I'll be right here in the D.C. area doing that. I don't have to go up to the broadcast center in New York this time. But, you know, my first... I was just thinking, Johnny, my first coverage, election night coverage, was in 1968 for WIBV in Belleville. And I was sent to the Madison County Courthouse in Edwardsville. And I'll tell you, I have had the political and election night bug ever since and covered many campaigns over the years, but it all started there.
Well, what a history. Well, a great thing to be doing it again. I'm glad they called you back for this. And I'm sure we'll hearing you on KMOX, I would imagine.
I hope so. And before I forget, I really have to commend the management of KMOX for having this weekend at your service and the way they've gone with the local programming all through the week. It's just wonderful, and I'm sorry to say there are a few stations that are doing it.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, too. Well, Peter, thank you. Thank you for that, and thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to you, I hope, soon.
Thank you so much for having me on with you, Johnny, on KMOX.
All right. There's Peter Mayer. This is Johnny Rabbit. We are at your service. And there's a lot of people want books. It was an interesting thing. We were at the University City Farmers Market yesterday, a very cute place. That's some wonderful pastries and coffee and some vegetarian chili. And I saw University City Library had a table that said free books. One side was free books. The other side, books that you could rent from the library. Not rent, but borrow from the library. A very nice idea. And speaking of books, a lot of people want to collect them. And I know a really good book sale. It's the Mercantile Library book sale. They do it a couple of times a year. And this one's coming up Tuesday, the 1st of November. Hopefully the weather will be nice. They say rain or shine, but they're going to be doing it right at the UMSL. It'll be on the west parking lot, the garage, actually, there, outside of the west parking garage, on the sidewalk, so they have enough room. And that's where UMSL is located, so it's the north campus. So if you were coming, say, from the Inner Belt, you'd go past Handley, make the first left into UMSL, and a couple of buildings down, you'll see the book sale there. The softcover books are $2, hardbacks are $3, and they really have an unusually good book sale, and they have some very interesting books. I mean, you talk about very interesting. At the library, this is one that they have come up with. I don't have time to read all of it, but this is just the front cover. Now, listen to this. This is a book perfect for Halloween. It's not going to be in the book sale. I know that. It's from 1885, and it's called The Dark and Mysterious Places of St. Louis. The whole story, this is what it says. This is a quote, told about the dark and mysterious places such as the levee at midnight, which is right now a very dark and mysterious place, the secrets of the river, mysteries of the morgue, of Biddle Street dives, Carrie Patch and Clabber Alley, the opium joints of St. Louis and the city. And let's and the subtitle is Gilded Sin and Naked Vice. Well, and again, that's an 1885 book. I'm sure you can take a look at it if you go to the Mercantile Library, one of my favorite places, and I am on the board of the library and art museum there. They're at the University of Missouri St. Louis campus in the Thomas Jefferson Library Building. The library, the Mercantile, is underneath that pyramid that's there. You may be familiar with that, right by the parking garage. The best time to go there if you want to visit is a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, because there are a lot of spaces in the parking lot or parking building. Well, Pam and John Phillips sent a very nice note. Says, "Hi, Johnny Rabbit. This is Pam. My husband and I met you at Josephine's Tea Room some years ago, and we went to a couple of your wonderful talks at the Missouri History Museum about Route 66 with our friend Rich Henry of Route 66 Rabbit Ranch, one of my favorite places. She said, I had my Barbie autograph book to show you at Josephine's with your autograph in it from when you did that for me when our Girl Scout troop went to KXOK back in the 60s. That's great. I just wanted to reach out, tell you how much I enjoy you on KMOX every Sunday in the morning from 8:50 to 9, thereabouts. And just hearing your voice makes me smile. You're refreshing to hear the things you know. I hope you get this email, and I have, and I will respond to that as well. And that's very nice of people to say that they're listening and also to remember the past. But there's some scary stuff at Halloween, but it doesn't get any scarier than what I'm just going to tell you a little bit about, and I'm going to tell more about this next week. The story started when World War II came to an end following the A-bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the world breathed a collective sigh of relief in the sincere belief that the atomic bomb, which was exclusively then in the arsenal of the United States of America, would deter the bad guys and keep the free world free and safe. In a few years, to help ensure this, America developed the thermonuclear weapon called the hydrogen bomb and tested the first H-bomb in 1952. But the Soviet Union, that had been one of our allies in the big war, had other schemes and other dreams, and they too came up with A-bombs and H-bombs, and since they had turned against us, the Cold War was underway. In November 1957, a study called the Gaither Report alerted our president, at the time Dwight David Eisenhower, to a realistic worst-case scenario that there was the potential threat of nuclear war with the USSR, and if this unthinkable concept occurred, the report suggested what could be done to help protect our civilian population and infrastructure. The conclusion was that passive defenses such as fallout shelters and air raid sirens might be utilized, even though the study stated such things would likely be borderline effective at best, but psychologically they would create the appearance of a semblance of protection to the public. Plus, the report advised that great amounts of literature would be released to the public, freely distributed, on how to hopefully live following a nuclear attack. The ideas were definitely unrealistic, but the fear of panic needed to be addressed. Printed materials provided such reassuring things as if the bomb falls and you're outdoors, jump into any convenient ditch or gutter, or bury your face in your arms. Also, don't rush outside right after a bombing, and radiation sickness is not always fatal. There's a part two to this program that brings it up to date. We will get to that when we meet next week, but right now, we're going to hear a little music that I'd like to play for you.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This is very special. So. Just a few days, we lost two noted musicians who were very different in style from each other, though both were pianists. One was the internationally known Jerry Lee Lewis, who a KMOX listener, Jim Gribben, said, used to hear him many times at a dive bar in Memphis called Hernando's Hideaway. The other, who we're hearing right now, was the locally renowned jazz pianist Dave Venn, who many may recall from places such as Jazz Central, the Playboy Club, the Chase Park Plaza Hotel, Jazz at the Bistro, Gaslight Square, and several locations there, and so many more. Dave Venn passed away in Phoenix this past week, after a long illness. We're lucky that there were some recordings made of his work, and there are performances, too, on YouTube. This is a sample of a selection made from his album called 1, 2, 3, that includes Steve Schenkel and Jay Hungerford. It's Dave Venn on piano, and the song is I Thought About You. Well, our Johnny Rabbit At Your Service program will be back next Sunday, November 6th, from 1 to 3. And our first guest that we have booked will have more. That's going to be Dr. Jody Sowell. Jody is the new executive director of the Missouri Historical Society. It's quite a job, and of course, they overview the Soldiers Memorial, as we talked about earlier today, with that director, Mark Sunlove. So we'll have some other guests as well. We'll talk about them during the week, and I'll see you on the radio. We'll be back on next Sunday morning, and that will be a little special feature. I'm not quite sure what we're going to be talking about yet. We try to come up with something that we hope will be of interest to you, and that's at 8:50 on Sunday morning, and then we'll be back next week from 1 to 3 with At Your Service. The following week, it's going to be a Chiefs game at this time, so we're not going to be around then, but hopefully the week after that. I'll let you know. But this is At Your Service, and I sure appreciate your being here. I'm Johnny Rabbit, and we're on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.